Ensemble, what a powerful song. And we serve a risen Savior, and we don't have a dead faith. Praise the Lord, and thank you for reminding us of that. What a joy it is just to get to hear the songs of the resurrection this morning, and then to get to hear the wonderful readings. Did you notice the readings were starting in the Psalms and those prophecies about what the Savior would go through? What a powerful, powerful package. Thank you for all those involved in getting us ready for this special, special resurrection morning. And I want to again remind you that we're so glad to have you with us today. And if you're listening on the radio 96.3, again, I just let you know that we are broadcasting from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right here in Gray, Tennessee. I'm Pastor John Herdman here at the church, and we're so thankful that you have joined us today. And then, of course, all of our church family, I want to ask you to continue to pray for Miss Laura Moore. We thank the Lord for what He's doing in her life, but I ask the church family to continue to pray for her, and continue to pray for Miss Diana Edwards as well in the hospital. And we've got many that we'll share in a later service, but I just want to mention those to be praying for those. Well, let me choose for a scripture reading this morning, Mark chapter 15. And I hope that you've gotten engaged in reading through the resurrection passages. If you haven't yet, then I challenge you to, before the day is over, to look at the end of each of the Gospels. But we'll choose Mark chapter 15. While you're finding your place there, I usually like to start with something a little funny. And I did hear about this church that was losing their pastor about Easter Sunday. He was going to finish up on Easter, and then they're going to have a big meal and just wish him off, and then welcome the new pastor soon after. And pastor went up to this one lady that was at one of the tables, and she was crying and just upset. And the pastor said, "Oh, don't worry." She said, "Ma'am, please don't worry." She said, "It may be that the pastor that you get next will be better than I am." She said, and she was still continued to cry. And he said, "Listen, please, honestly," he said, "you know, God's got His hand in all this. Maybe the next one will be better preacher, better pastor." And then finally she looked at me and said, "That's what they said the last time, and looked how that turned out." So you got to be careful in this pastoral transition. Of course, you know that I've not been here long, and so thank the Lord for folks that help through transitions. Mark chapter 15, look at verse 42 if you would. The Bible says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and called unto him the centurion. He asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of it, the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph behold where he was laid." I want to preach for just a little while this morning on this subject, the morning light, and I'll make reference to a song later that's by that title. But the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 16, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." The sun wasn't the only thing that rose that day. In their hearts rose hope. In their hearts rose some determination that, although as was mentioned in one of our lessons today, I think in one of our Sunday school classes, that the ladies believed sooner than the disciples did, but hope rose in their heart, and the truth of the gospel rose in their heart that day. And of course, the Son of God had already risen. And I want to preach for a little while about this, the morning light. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the Bible references that have been mentioned, the passages that have been read, and the music, and all that's been gone on to today. But Lord, we push all of this aside. We push everything that I could do, everything that the musicians and the ensemble and the pianists could do. We push all of it aside, dear Lord, because today we celebrate the resurrection. Lord, what man can do is nothing. Lord, we're here to celebrate a risen Savior. And so, Lord, we want no person to get glory out of anything, but we give all glory to the resurrected Christ. Bless us now, we pray in His name. Amen. Paul Harvey used to tell a story, as most of many of you are familiar with the rest of the stories, as he would have on the radio programs for many, many years. He used to tell the story of a Boston preacher named S.D. Gordon. One particular Easter morning, S.D. Gordon had beside the pulpit a battered, beat-up birdcage, had it sitting there, made people wonder what it was for, what it was for. And as he got into the message, he told the story of how the birdcage came to be beside the pulpit that he was preaching from. He rehearsed the story that week, when he was walking through one of the lanes of a little town they lived in, there was a unkempt boy there, sandy-haired, but just unkempt, and obviously was just running free, but he had a beat-up birdcage, battered and paint-chipped, and had three or four birds inside just all huddled together because that boy was swinging that birdcage. He asked that boy, "What are you doing with your birds?" He said, "Well, I'm just going to play with them and poke them a little bit." And he said, "But when you get done with doing all that, you're going to torment them," basically, the preacher knew. He said, "When you get done with that, what are you going to do after you have fun with them?" He said, "Well, I've got a cat. Cat likes birds, so I think I'll just let my cat have them." And the preacher said, "What would you take for the birds?" And the boy said, "Oh, preacher, you don't want these ones." He said, "They're just plain old field birds. They're not pretty, and they don't even sing. They don't really don't do anything. You don't want them." And he said, "How much you want for them?" And the boy said, $2. A little bit of silence, and the preacher pulled out of his pocket two $1 bills, and the boy was shocked because he thought he would just say that because he didn't think the preacher would pay it. And so he gave him the $2 and took the bird cage, and the boy skipped off the road with putting his $2 down his blue jean pocket. Didn't go up very far up the little lane. The preacher got a little spot and set the bird cage on a ledge there and opened the door up, but they were so skittish because that boy had been swinging them around, so he coaxed them out of the cage. Finally, they made their way out and flew off. Hence the empty bird cage that he came and brought beside and set beside of his pulpit for the Sunday sermon. And so almost in an unrelated story, because the people had kind of forgot what he had said there, but as he told that story and went on to something else, and the preacher brought it back around and he said, "You know, the devil had us caged." And he said he had us in there skittish and scared and in a place where we didn't want to be. And if the devil had been asked, "What are you going to do with those birds?" "Oh, I'm just going to prod them and torment them and lead them through immorality and divorce and lies and cheating and stealing." And said, "Then what are you going to do with them?" "And then I'm going to condemn them, damn them to hell, because I led them into a life and then they stayed in that life and did nothing about it, and I'm going to condemn them at the end." And then, of course, by this point, the people that were listening in the sermon that day knew that Brother Gordon was going to go on from there and talk about how it didn't take $2 to get the people out of the cage this time. It took the very precious blood of Jesus Christ. But that the preacher that day went on to tell that Jesus did, in fact, put His money down, His better than money, His blood down. And even though the devil would say that they won't love you, they'll mock you and they'll spit upon you, yet Jesus still paid the price for us to be released. And that's what we celebrate Easter for. We don't do it because we can all get dressed up, and we don't do it so that we can all have Easter baskets. We don't do it so that we can sing songs about that. We celebrate resurrection because it, of all things, in the precious Bible that we get to preach from, it, of all things in there, is the pinnacle. It's the culmination. It's everything that Jesus Christ stood for, or it's all that the Word of God preaches, because it's the pivotal point. The resurrection proves the gospel message was effective, and it's true that Christ not only came to the earth and died on the cross, and if that had been all the story, then it would have been forgotten long ago. But because of the resurrection, it put the exclamation point on the whole gospel story, because the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But tonight, or today rather, as I think about that night, I see that darkness was falling. The Bible says in verse number 42 of our text, "And now when the even was come," because it was the preparation, that's the day before the Sabbath. Now remember that in the timeline of the gospel narrative of the crucifixion, that darkness came upon the earth. But then that subsided, and now though it's getting ready for the evening. And so before the evening comes, then the bodies have to be taken down. And I want you to picture yourself for just a little while as one of those followers of Christ. And I want to give you this, that the evening was coming not only on that day, but the evening was coming on everything that they knew. They had heard stories of Christ, they'd heard mention of Christ, that he said he would rise, and they'd heard all that, but they still didn't understand. But I'm sure as they looked at him on the cross, they thought maybe something would happen. And obviously they'd seen the darkness, and they'd heard the earthquakes, and they'd seen all of these things. Perhaps something would be done, but when Joseph and some others took him down from the cross, as Mary and some others would have watched, it would have brought us to what I want to give you tonight or today, that the darkness was falling. When even was coming not only in just the daylight hours leaving them, but even was come in their hopes, and evening was coming in their expectations. Evening was coming. Not long before that time, Jesus was agonizing in Gethsemane's garden, asking the disciples to pray with him for 1 hour and ask him, but they didn't. And he was agonizing there in Gethsemane. And then finally, Judas's betraying kiss came and told the soldiers who he was. And now he was taken from, you remember the story, from Annas to Caiaphas and Pilate to Herod, back to Pilate, and this mock trial that he goes through. And then he gets taken to the cross, and all the utterings of the cross were given until finally he cries out, "It is finished." But remember this, my friend, that no man took Jesus' life from him, because the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." But as we think about the cross and we think about the resurrection afterwards, but we think about that great payment that was made, my friend, as I was thinking my study this morning and praying and asking the Lord to help me today, remind yourself of this, that it's not that wicked somebody that lives down at the end of the county that you're thinking of that Jesus died on the cross for. Yes, he did. It's not that wicked person that goes from house of ill repute to house of ill repute and lives in an immoral way. That's not the one that Jesus died for. Yes, he did. But in our thinking today and in your thinking today, he died for you. It's so easy for us to say that Christ died for the sins of all those ungodly people, and he certainly did. But he died for all the ones of you that would be sitting in the auditorium today if you could, that dressed up for church and sung out of a hymn book. He died for me. We don't like to think about this. But folks, the Bible teaches that what a person thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible talks about the lustful thoughts that you might have. The Bible talks about the evilness in your heart that you might think that you'd never tell somebody, but the Lord knows all those. And so when darkness was falling and Christ was on the cross, now they're taking him down. He was dying for your sins and for mine. But as Jesus laid down his life and they're retrieving him from the cross, can you think about a few people? I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, who knew from the beginning that this was no ordinary boy. She, the one that knew before anyone else that he was of heaven's origin. And the Bible says in John chapter 19, verse number 26, Jesus, seeing his mother, said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And I don't know how Mary responded to that, but I'm sure in her heart she thought, "I don't want to. I don't want to behold my son like this." I don't want to behold him in this fashion. I don't want to behold him in such a tragic, wicked tone. But she had to look on him. And now she's looking upon him as they're taking him down off the cross. Can you think about Peter? The last thing that Peter was told by Christ was, before the rooster, the cock crows twice, you deny me thrice. And the Bible talks about in Luke 22, a very, very sad verse in the Gospels. It says this, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter. You say, John, Brother Herdman, why would that be sad? Because that verse happens right after the last time that Peter denied Christ. Remember Peter, the impetuous, the one that was bold and brash and would run in at any instance that he could. The bold one said to Christ, I not only will live for you, I die for you. And Jesus said, before the rooster would crow twice, you deny me. And Peter said, oh, never. But sure enough, Peter did do exactly as the Lord predicted, and he denied him not once, twice, but three times. And then that verse is said in Scripture, and the Lord turned and looked. I can't imagine the deep pit that Peter was in. But darkness was falling on Mary, and darkness was falling on Peter. I'm thinking about Mary Magdalene, because she owed him everything. Mark chapter 16, verse 9 says, Mary, out of whom he had cast seven demons, her whole identity was now wrapped up in Christ. And she sees him bleeding and beaten and now dead. This was the darkest day in history, folks. We think about the world wars that we've had to be engaged in. We think about darkness over different epidemics that have hit our nation in years past. We think about the pandemic going on right now. That night, if I could say it like this, all hope was gone. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2 says that Jesus not only died for the sins of whoever, you, me, or whoever, but the sins of the world, the whole world. And as Jesus was bearing the sin of the world, my friend, darkness was falling. But I remember an old song that was sung by some friends of ours, the Epleys, and also by other musicians, entitled what I mentioned as my sermon title, The Morning Light. The psalm, one part of it goes like this: her eyes were swollen from all the tears she'd cried. She wondered if her broken heart would ever mend. But as she looked in the tomb, hope came into sight after what Mary saw in the morning light. I'm going to do something I don't know if I've ever done. I'll give you a message with 2 points. One, darkness is falling. But praise the Lord, Resurrection Sunday. Praise the Lord, Resurrection Easter Sunday we get to celebrate today. Praise the Lord, light is risen. Mark chapter 16, verse number 9, where we're already in. If you've got your Bible open, look at verse number 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. I think it's amazing that one of the people that were in that darkest night is one he saw first. Because remember, she had nothing. Seven demons cast out of her. Her whole identity, as I mentioned, would have been wrapped up in Christ and following him and making sure that he was what he needed and being the servant to him. And those that fell the furthest, Jesus lifted them. And she's the first one that Jesus comes to. I'm thinking about not only this, but Mark chapter 16, verse number 7, when the angel tells them to go and tell the disciples, look if you will, in verse number 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was already one of the disciples. That's redundant. Except that possibly the angel, instructed by the Lord, the angel wants to be sure that Peter knows that just because you did not, you're not forbidden to come back. And so not only was darkness falling the deepest, darkest dark of the world. You've been, many of you have been in those caverns before down deep in the earth as you stroll down those winding staircases. And oftentimes when they get you down there to the bottom of those caverns, then they'll tell you, all right, so everybody stand still, get a good spot, and we're going to turn off all lights. And they almost always do this after they tell you they're going to turn off all the lights, and they do. Then they tell you to put your hand in front of your face. And you're truly down so deep in the earth that there's no light that you can't see your hand that far. My friend, I believe that that's the darkness we were speaking about when all hope was lost. Jesus, our leader, Jesus, our Messiah, Jesus is gone. Darkness was fallen, but light had risen. John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Satan tried with Herod killing all the babies 33 years before to try to snuff out the life of Christ, and that wasn't successful. But now Satan is, from the outside, now Satan is, he's confident that Christ is buried in the earth, dead and finished. But as the light rose that morning, and as the sun came up that day, and the stone had already been rolled back, and people were able to look into that tomb, then finally, for once and for all, Christ had risen, but also light had risen, and hope had risen, and salvation arose that day. Because up until then, it was an unfinished transaction. Because up until then, it was promised that the Messiah would come. But now, the Messiah, the sacrificial Lamb of God, had been given. And now, not only had the sacrificial Lamb been given, but He had been offered, and He had been accepted, and He had been defeated death, hell, and the grave in one swoop. And so not only was darkness falling in the land that day, but now, as night came and the darkness was deeper than anybody could have imagined, now the light was rising. And it was so bright that it was brighter than anyone could imagine. So bright that it shines forth to today. It will shine forth forevermore because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Up from the grave He arose, as some songwriter wrote, light is risen. And my friend, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is why we have hope of heaven. So if you're watching this morning, you're listening this morning, can I remind you that yes, the darkness fell, but the light arose. Jesus came into this world to be the payment of our sins, and the transaction was finished, sealed up and bundled, when Christ rose victorious after paying for the sins of mankind. You and I sinned against Him, and only He could offer salvation that was finished by His resurrection. So this morning, are you one of those that know that although your sinful life would prevent you from going to heaven, you know that you've accepted, believed, and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that your life deserves, the life you've lived deserves to land you in a devil's hell, but that when Jesus rose victorious, He provided salvation for you. And if you're here this morning, listening, watching, and you've never come to a place in your life where you realize your sins were the sins that were placed on the back of Christ, but you realize it today, and today you'd like to accept Him as your personal Savior. Say, Pastor Herdman, I thought He is the Savior, but you need Him as your personal Savior. Receive Him. To as many received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you're here today watching and you've known about Christ, but you've never received Him into your life for forgiveness of your sins, then this Easter is the day. In just a moment, we'll pray, and I challenge you to ask Christ to forgive your sins and turn to Christ for salvation. And if you're here watching and you are a believer, years ago, months ago, weeks ago, days ago, I don't know when it was, but sometime you knew your sins were on Christ's back and you received Him. Let His precious salvation be efficient in your life and you received Him as your Savior. If that's you today, can I ask you, I'm asking myself as well, what in the world are we doing letting problems of this life get us down? Problems in this life come into our lives. By the power of God, we overcome them and go on. Why are we staying underneath those problems? We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He's in my life. If you're saved, He's in your life. I'm not saying that makes all your problems go away, but I'm saying that gives you help to go through whatever problems coming your way. If you're here today and you're saved, the problems that are facing you, can I ask you just to ask the Lord to help you through them? We've got folks that are waiting with us by our telephone. Our number is 423-477-3311. Maybe you'd like to email us a prayer request, prayer@brbc.us. But if you're watching today, listening today, and you're not saved, can I tell you that's what Easter is all about? Jesus came to be your Savior. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your heads there where you are? And I'd love for everybody to take inventory in their life. If you're there and you're not a believer in Christ, all you believe about Him, but you've never put your faith in Him alone. Right there where you are, this Easter service, would you call out to Christ and ask Him to be your personal Savior? Say something like this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I know You died on that cross for me, and You were buried and You rose again. I believe that with all of my heart, but I do more than just believe in it. I'm accepting it as salvation for me. As she's playing, if God is moving upon your heart and you're not saved, Jesus died carrying your sins to pay for them. Now you can either do one of two things. You can either accept His payment, believe on Him as your personal Savior, receive Him for salvation, or you can reject that payment. And then those sins, they're still your responsibility. But the problem is, if those sins remain on your account, remain your responsibility, then you'll have to pay for them. And the only way to do that is to be cast away from God forever and ever in a wicked place called hell. Rejecting Christ, staying in your darkness. But today, wouldn't you call upon Christ, believing that He is who He said He was? A lot of people in the day and age in which He walked the earth refused to believe that He was the Messiah. Don't be like them. Receive Him as your Savior right now, would you please? I urge you. Lord, I pray that You would bless the people who are thinking right now. Lord, I pray that You would just bring upon them conviction, show them they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Bless them, Father. Convict them. As we continue in an attitude of prayer, those of you who are saved, oh, you've been living under the circumstances. Now, Lord, folks, we need You to give those things to the Lord. If your life is falling apart and you seem in darkness, even as a believer, live in the light. The light arose. He'll help you through every day. help you in every way. Whatever your need is, would you look to Christ? Again, I remind you that if you need prayer help or need someone to walk with you through an issue, our phone number is 423-477-3311. It's on the bottom of the screen if you're looking, watching. Or prayer at brbc.us. We'd love to hear from you. As we continue this invitation time, would you just simply do what the Lord is leading you to do in your life? The darkness fell, but the light arose. May we seek Him. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel Wakefield to come and close our invitation in prayer.